You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
A burden has a number of definitions, but I want to give you two on this morning. And let me say up front, before I give you these two definitions, it's important that you pay attention and stay with me because we're going to do some rolling this morning, okay? A burden, number one, is a heavy load that someone carries. A heavy load that someone carries. And based upon that definition, on your journey into adulthood and as a young person, it's true that sooner or later, you're going to have burdens. Making it more clear, secondly, a burden is a personal care that is concerning. There's just going to be some things in your life to where it's going to weigh heavy on you. It's going to give a lot of thought. You try to sleep, but what you're thinking about is a burden. You're trying to focus on different things, but what you're dealing with in life or who you're dealing with has become a burden. It's just concerning. So much so that you can begin to worry. You can begin to stress. And I know you save. I know you pray. I know you have the Holy Spirit. But in life, you will experience burdens. And burdens, young people, again, can be heavy. And if you're not in the place that you need to be, your burdens can get the best of you. Instead of you handling your burdens properly, your burdens can handle you and drive you every which way but loose. Burdens are a part of life. And as pastor, I want to equip you so you can handle burdens properly. Whether you are a single child with no siblings or you have multiple siblings, you need to know how to handle burdens. Whether you have a single parent home, a step parent, or raised by a grandparent or auntie, you still need to know how to handle burdens. And I need to say this, you need to know how to handle them the way God wants you to handle them. Because the internet and your peers and coworkers will try to advise you on what you should do when you're dealing with the cares or burdens of life. Are y'all still with me? And so I want to give you some wisdom and some truth about burdens. Wisdom is going to help you make the right choice. Truth is what we need to practice. And if we continue in truth, truth will make us free. Yeah. Pastor going to give us some wisdom and some truth about burdens. Say that with me. Say, Pastor going to feed us wisdom and truth. Finish it. All right, let's go to Psalm 38. Psalm 38. Psalm 38. Psalm 38 and verse number 4. Notice the first truth about burdens. The psalmist says, "For my iniquities have gone, help me, over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." The first truth I want you to understand about a burden is that sin is a heavy burden. Sin is a heavy burden. Now, sin, young people, the Bible says, is pleasurable. We enjoy sin. Even though it's contrary to the will of God, even though the wages of sin is death, we still enjoy practicing sin sometimes. But the psalmist is teaching us, if you keep doing what you know is wrong, it's going to start weighing heavy on you. And it's going to become more than what you can handle. Sin will wear you out. There's some folk that their excuse for not giving their life to Jesus and allowing him to omit their sin is they're saying they're having too much fun. It's still some stuff I wanna do. And see, that's an indication that sin hadn't weighed heavy on them yet. You can get to a place to where you're practicing and doing what you know is wrong, and then you're going to start reaping, and it's going to get heavy. And notice the psalmist said, it's over my head. I can't handle it. You get tired. Sin will make you tired, young folk. Sin will wear you down. Even though you know you're on your way to hell, it'll start just wearing you down to where eventually you're going to want some help. You'll get to the place to where hopefully you'll say, "Lord, you got to help me, because my iniquity has gotten more than I can handle." That's why, young folk, you don't play around with sin, because you can get a hold to something that'll turn you out. You can get a hold to something that'll be more than what you can handle. How many see it in the verse? Sin is a heavy burden. You don't play with sin. If God say don't touch it, don't what? Don't touch it. If he say don't go there, don't what? Don't go there. Don't get involved. You better heed. Don't get in. Because the psalmist says, it's a heavy burden. Psalm 55. Y'all go to Psalm 55. We just getting started. Psalm 55, and notice, if you will, 22. The psalmist says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall, help me, sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden on the Lord. The second truth, as well as counsel or wisdom young people need about burdens, is that we should cast our burdens on the Lord. Yeah. Cast our burdens on the Lord. There are certain things in life that are just bigger than you. There are certain things in life you don't have all of the power to deal with on your own. There are certain things in life, it ain't no need in you worrying about. You're not going to be able to figure it out, even though you are intelligent. You have got to learn how to cast your care or your burdens on the Lord. Why, Pastor? Because the psalmist says that if we do that, the Lord will sustain us. He will take care of us. You can find some peace even though you have burdens if you just cast it on the Lord. You got to say, "Lord, you got to help me with this situation. This is bigger than me. I can't handle this on my own. I'm giving it to you. I'm acknowledging you, Lord, so you can direct my path. You got to learn how to cast your care on him, not search Google, not ask Alexa, not consider what your friends think, but you have got to have a personal relationship with your God to where you have the confidence that when you talk to him about what you're going through, he hears you. And he not only hears you, but he's going to take care of you and the situation. You cast it on him, and he's going to sustain you. That's the blueprint. You give it to him, and you leave it there. You don't go back and pick it up. You don't try to help the Lord along. You don't try to fix it. You just cast it on the Lord. You know what it means to cast? It means to throw. It means to throw down. Just like when you go fishing, you cast that line. You're throwing it out. And that's what we have to do when it comes to God. I'm throwing this problem to you. I'm bringing it to the altar. I'm going to talk to you in prayer. Lord, help me with what I'm dealing with. Because I'm worried, I'm anxious, and I don't want to get out of your will. So I'm casting my burden on the Lord. And some of us, you're starting a bad habit as a young man or a young woman. You're trying to handle your burdens on your own. That's a bad habit. Look at somebody and say, don't you do that. No, there are just certain things that are bigger than you and certain people, you can't make them do the right thing. You have to learn how to cast folk that are worrying you on the Lord. It could be your sister. She getting on my nerves, Lord. I might drop kick her, but I'm going to give you my... Lord, you got to help me deal with my brother or with my sister. It could be your spouse. You in love with them. They gave you a ring. You vowed to love them. But sometimes your spouse get on your first and your last nerve. You got to learn how to cast your spouse on the Lord. Touch them, Lord. Deal with them, Lord. That teacher, that supervisor, what's going on the job? They talking about laying off. You got to cast that problem on the Lord. Your scholarship opportunities, whatever it is going on in your life, y'all help me and say, cast it on the Lord. Your career, your financial state, Lord, you're gonna have to help me to get to what you put into my spirit. I'm giving it to you, Lord, because they're telling me to do this, they're telling me to do that, but I want to do what you would have me to do. Cast your burden on the Lord, and I love it. He will sustain you. He gonna take care of you. He gonna work it out. Look at somebody say, he gonna work it out. Yeah, he's talking about the righteous. And sometimes we as saved folk, we get overly concerned about stuff that we can't fix anyway. We have to just give it to who? The Lord. Let's go to 1 John. Let me back this up. 1 John 5. Lord have mercy. Why do I need to cast it to the Lord, Pastor? I understand he'll sustain me, but I love what the Apostle John said. Y'all still with me? 1 John 5 and 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his, help me, commandments. This is it. And his commandments are not burdensome. If you do it on your own, it's going to be a burden. But if you obey the commands of God, it's not going to be a burden. Do it God's way. You do it your way, it's going to be a problem. Do it God's way, it's not going to be a problem. When it comes to your self-confidence, you got to learn how to do it God's way, not your way. When it comes to your sexuality, do it God's way and not your way. Why? Because his way, his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus told us some people in his day, look, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God's way is the best way. Y'all ought to help me teach somebody. Say, God's way, finish it. It's the best way. And somebody here needs to know that your way is not the best way. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is destruction, it's death. But God's way, the word way, is always the best way. Now, God's way sometimes may take longer than what you have planned for it to take, but it's still the best way. I said doing it God's way sometimes may be the long way, but it's the best way. I know I'm teaching right. I know I'm telling the truth. When you look in that Old Testament, God took Israel at one time to the promised land. He took them out of the way. He took them the long way. He took them around a way that was not the quickest way. And he did that, the scripture says, so they could learn that he was God. Whatever route God takes you down in life, that's the best way. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And sometimes God will lead us through a wilderness. He'll lead us through the fire. He'll lead us through storms. He'll lead us through pain, but it's still the best way. His commandments or his ways is not burdensome. Isaiah, y'all go to Isaiah. Wisdom and truth about burdens. Are y'all learning? Yeah. I heard about three responses. Y'all learning? All right. Isaiah 10. 27. You need to circle, bookmark, or highlight this verse. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. See, oftentimes when we are burdened down with something, worried about something, we feel heavy. But then when we get prayer, but then when we hear a word, when we get in God's presence and worship him, when God destroys those burdens, it feels like a weight taken off of our neck. That's the best way some of us can describe it. Man, I feel lighter. I feel better. You know why? Because the anointing destroyed the yoke that was on your shoulder, that was around your neck. And see, that's why it's important for us to be corporately on the same page doing praise and worship service. Because if we get on the same page and worship God, we send up some praise. You know what he's going to send down? His presence. And his presence is his glory, his anointing. And we need the anointing, young folk, because you come in here with problems. You come in here with burdens on your neck sometime and on your shoulders. But it's the anointing that would destroy that burden. It's the anointing that will empower you. It's the anointing that will lift, as we say, the monkey off your back. How many know what I'm talking about? You can come to the altar, or you can stay at your seat, or you can be at home. That anointing will find you and destroy that burden around your neck. I know what I'm talking about. Look at somebody and say, we need the anointing. You see this picture up here I have? This is called a yoke. And this yoke is what they would put around the neck of an oxen. And wherever the yoke would turn, guess what? The oxen would turn in that same direction. And see, sometimes burdens are the same way. Your problems would tell you to worry, and guess what you do? You worry. Your problems would tell you to figure it out on your own, but guess what you'll do? You'll try to figure it out on your own. Your burdens are say, don't talk to nobody. Keep it to yourself. Wherever that yoke or that burden goes, it will drive you like the oxen. But that anointing will destroy that yoke. I said that anointing will destroy that yoke so the oxen can go wherever it desires. And I came to help somebody. When you have problems in your life, get in the presence of God. Yes, you need to rush to God's house on Sunday to come to his house, but throughout the week, you better know how to get God's glory in your presence, young man and young woman. Y'all looking like I'm from another planet. I know what I'm talking about. You got to know how to get a prayer through. You got to know how to praise God for yourself so that anointing can destroy that burden off your neck and off your shoulder. Y'all see Mullins? Big Mullins, my armor bear. Imagine if he was a yoke or a burden and he was on my neck. Imagine if we just did an example and I said, hop up here on my shoulders. Do y'all think I would be able to walk the way I need to walk? No, that burden is heavy. And I want to give you that visual because sometimes what you go through in life, it weighs on you. And you act out of character. But that anointing, that glory makes the difference. We ought to give God the praise for his presence and for the anointing. So when it comes to wisdom and truth about burdens, sin is a what? Man, y'all sound pathetic. Let's try that again. Y'all sound burdened down. Sin is a what? No, sin is a? You ain't got to guess. I got it right here. Sin is a? We should do what with our burdens? Cast them on the Lord. And the anointing does what? Destroys. It don't just break. It destroys. It destroys. Yokes of burdens. Now, back in Proverbs, let's go back to Proverbs 10. Back in Proverbs 10, our main text, verse number 1. The proverb writer is writing a proverb or has written a proverb about a father and a mother. Actually, it says Solomon wrote it. He wrote a proverb, a short statement that has truth about a father and a mother. And on this morning, I'm going to deal with the mother because all of us have or have had a mother. But let me build this foundation. Because it's important for us to be able to define a mother. And the scripture gives multiple definitions. I just want to give a few. Number one, a mother is a female child bearer. A mother is a what? A female child bearer. And I got to say a female. Because in the day and time that we're living in, there are men that want to bear children, as you see here in this picture that was taken from People magazine. Now, this was actually a woman, but she wants to be a man. So she got her breast removed and had steroids to where she has a beard now, but she kept her womb so she could bear a child, which shows you that the scripture is still right. A mother is a female child bearer. Now, she can want to be called man all day, but bottom line, God made the female to bear children. Biblically, Job said in Job 1:21, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. How many came naked from your mother's womb? Yeah, all of us. Now, if you came out with a pair of Jordans on, something wrong. But we all came from our mother's womb. And some of us, you can tell you came from your mother's womb because you got traits, physical traits. Some of us right now, you look just like your mother. And some of you, I just look at, I'll be like, hey, God, if your mama left you on the street, we still know who child you belong to. Because you look like your mama. Number two, a mother is a woman that is divinely equipped. Notice, to be gentle, nurse, and cherish her own children. I'm not going to argue with anybody, but a woman is divinely equipped to be gentle to her own child. It's just something about that woman. She got that touch, that mother's touch. She cherishes and nurtures her own children. And Paul told one church that in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 7. He said, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. I don't know how far back y'all can remember, but a mother is just on another level when it comes to being gentle, nourishing, and cherishing her children. Yeah, a mother. She'll just take her time and change the diaper and wipe the child down and put the lotion on, or put the Vaseline on and make sure the child is just comfortable and warm. A daddy, man, I ain't changing them diapers. You know what I'm saying? Man, put something on, let's go. I mean, just different. Y'all can't remember back when you was a child? Or at least a little bit younger. Y'all too grown now. Y'all don't remember. Mama just do a little bit different. Now get them clothes on. Daddy is saying, let's go to school. Mama, she can't leave the house looking like that. She just going to be gentle and nourish and just take care of her child. Like nobody else. How many know it's nobody like mama? You can be 15 and mama still got them ways about her baby. Yeah, you the youngest, and we can all tell it because she just so gentle with you. But with that oldest one, get in there, you know what to do. But this my baby right here. Yeah, it's something about mama and her children. She just gentle and gonna take care of them. But then finally, a mother is an older, mature woman who lives by faith. You can have another woman in your life that's almost like your mother, that you go to church with, and it's like your second mother. She's not your natural mother, but because she lives by the word, she hears the word and does it, you can consider her a mother. When I was 19 and I got to the church and I got saved, it's like I had two or three different mothers right here in the church. Even though my natural mother was back in Decatur, it's like I had different mothers here in the church that I could go to about different things. And I lined this up with scripture because Jesus said in Luke 18:21, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word and do it. Listen, young people, you may not be able to go to your mother about everything in your life, But you need to have somebody in your church that's mature, spirit-filled, and young women, especially an older, mature woman, that you can go to about different issues. Because you may not want to talk to your mother about certain things. And so even though Minister Shaq and First Lady Baker and Sister Melissa and Minister Leeks and others may not be grandmama age, but you can get some motherly advice from them. I said you can get some motherly advice. You may not want to talk to your mama about certain things, but you can go to these mature women and they can give you some motherly advice. I know I'm talking right. Yeah. And so a mother just has different definitions, various definitions when you consider the scripture. But in these last 15 minutes or so, Solomon talks about how a child or a son can be grief to their mother. You can be a burden to your mother. And this morning, I specifically want to talk about your natural mother. Or you may not have your natural mother in your life. You may be being raised by your aunt, your grandmother, foster mother. You can actually be grief or a burden to them. You can be an ongoing problem or concern for your mother. I'm going to hit this strong word. You can be an annoyance to your mother. Mama used to tell me, Jerome, you're driving me batty. You're driving me straight up the wall by the way that you're acting. In other words, she was confirming what the scripture's saying. You being a grief to your mother. And watch this. You can be a teenager, a preteen, or in your 20s or older, and still be a burden to your mother. How, Pastor? By being foolish. Y'all hold on. A foolish child is a burden to their mother. A foolish child. 15, but a problem for your mama. 23, still live at your house with your mama. But you a burden. A burden. Oh, you got hips now, girl. You in the seventh grade. Hair growing, body developing. All of a sudden, becoming a grief or a burden to your mother. Don't need to be a burden to your mother. Y'all whisper since I got your quiet, say, don't be a burden to your mother. I want to show you two ways you can be a burden to your mother, then I'm going to flip it. I want to show you how you can be foolish by being and be a burden or a grief to your mother. Number one, by being confidently ignorant. Confidently ignorant. You got some young people, they are confidently ignorant. They are bold in their stupidity. On that dumb stuff, proud of it, but not realizing They are a burden at the same time. Let's go to the Bible because I ain't getting too much help, but I know I'm telling the truth. Let's go to Proverbs 14. Y'all hurry up. Proverbs 14. Confidently ignorant? Where pastor get that from? Proverbs 14, 16. A wise man fears and departs from what? A wise man fears and departs from. Y'all gonna sound like a choir before we leave today. A wise man fears and departs from. There you go. But a fool rages and is self-confident. A fool rages, argues, has a difference of opinion with their mother. But look at this, and they self-confident. They just believe they right, but they ain't. They confident in they ignorant. They confident in being wrong. I know what I'm talking about, mama, but mama like, baby, I been there. Baby, I done that. No, he ain't like the other ones. Yes, he is. Why are you so confidently ignorant? You don't have the experience that you think you have. And when you don't have the experience, you can be confident and rage about it, but still a fool. He ain't like the others. He loved me. Baby, your nose wide open. You's a fool. You're confidently ignorant. Ask your mama. She used to be a fool. You ought to ask your mama, how you know? Because she's going to say, baby, that's how I got pregnant when I was your age. I thought I knew. I didn't think it would happen to me. And that's how I had you. And going back to what I said earlier, you get girls that come up in the church that go through this phase to where they feel like they don't want to listen to the law, the Bible says, or the rules of their mother. And they just get so confident in their own ignorance. And it's just a lot of back and forth between mama and daughter. It's like cats. Just fighting back and forth. And don't let it not be a father in the house. Oh, man, sometimes that young lady can get real buck and act like she want to fight. Or sometimes it's not the daughter. Sometimes it's the son. Mama can't do nothing with me. Physically, you stronger than her. Now, that don't mean your mama may not fight with you. But sometimes young people are confidently ignorant. And teaching like this does not garner a lot of praise the Lord's and preach and teach pastor, but I know I'm telling the truth. I know I'm telling the truth. And I'm trying to help you. Because when you're like that, according to the verse, you're a fool. A fool rages and is self-confident. You think you know, but baby, you really don't know. And sometimes it's best to learn from the experience of somebody else instead of having to learn yourself. Because look, listen, and check this perspective. It may not go the way it went for your mother. It could actually go worse. You know why? Because you know better. You've been taught. And so the consequences for your foolishness are going to be greater. And so sometimes, young people, you have to take a step back. And as long as you are up under your mother's rule, you have to be okay with, you know what? I'm just going to do what I'm told. I'm going to honor my mother so it can be well with me. Right. Now, when you get out on your own and you can take care of yourself, you don't have to depend on mama paying your insurance. You can pay your own bills. You can cut a fool all you want. But a mama in her right mind, she gonna be saying, my house, my rule. And baby, you gotta be okay with that. Because in life, you gonna have rules you got to follow. But when you get out on your own, you're gonna have to live by your own choices. The just live by his faith. You're going to have to live by the choices that you make. But mama trying to protect you. Now, sadly, some mamas overprotective. It does come to a point to where when your child is mature or old enough to make certain choices, let them make it on their own and it's on them. But listen to me, don't get fast. I said, don't get fast. You get fast, it's easy to wreck or lose control. So we learn we shouldn't be confidently ignorant. And before I go to this second point, let me take a quick poll. How many ever been confidently ignorant? Yeah. Secondly, we are a burden to our mothers when we choose to be irresponsible. You are a problem to your mother when you are constantly irresponsible. When your mother has to constantly ask you to do the same thing over and over, you're becoming a burden. When you go to school, get in trouble, your mama has to get off of work, come to the school, and they telling her, look, if this happened again, we're just going to have to let you go. Baby, brother, you are a burden to your mother. You're a burden. She loves you, but you're a problem. In the Old Testament, when parents had burdensome children, they took them to the elders. And if the elders couldn't help, they said, well, take them out there and let's stone them. We can't do that. We can't do that. We can't do that. But you need to know, you ain't right. If this is your behavior, you ain't right. If you sneaky, you ain't right. Telling your mama one thing, doing something else, that's irresponsible. You ain't right. Sneaking folk in when you shouldn't be, you ain't. Sneaking out when you should be in, you ain't right. Going where you ain't going, saying you ain't going, that's irresponsible. Boy, this is some good teaching. And don't mess around and say you saved. You ain't right. That's irresponsible. Look at this. Lord have mercy. Proverbs 17:16. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom? Or why do you have in your hand something valuable? Now watch this. Since a fool has no heart for it. You can give a fool something valuable, but they're going to be irresponsible and not do what needs to be done. Case in point, you can tell a fool what they need to do, and they can know that, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. But a fool is not going to be responsible. They're going to go and do something totally different. That's irresponsible. I told you to clean the kitchen by 9 o'clock. You said I understood. It's 11 o'clock, and it ain't done. You knew what you needed to do. You knew how to do it. That's irresponsible. I let you use the car. You tell me you're going to drive responsibly. You go out and get 3 tickets. Now the insurance don't went up $300. That's irresponsible. responsible. You tell me you can handle going out with your friends. I let you go out with your friends and I find out y'all smoking and doing other stuff. That's irresponsible. I get you the phone. You beg me for the phone. You bring your grades up. But then I give you the phone and you're listening and watching things that you shouldn't. That's irresponsible. Boy, I know I'm telling the truth. Be a burden. Don't be a burden. You can be a son or a daughter and not be flawless. You're not going to be perfect. Just don't be a burden. Tell somebody on your road, say, don't be no burden. Don't be a burden. Don't be a burden. And again, you can be in your 20s, still at home and still be a burden. Your parents tell you, look, you can stay here as long as you work or go to school, but all I need is $300 a month to help. And every month they got to chase you down for $300. You being a burden because she's expecting you to be responsible and pay what you owe. Now, if you out on your own, it's going to cost you $2,300 to take care of yourself. All she asking for is $300. That's irresponsible. Look at somebody and say, don't be a burden. Be a blessing. Be a blessing to your mother. Whether you're a child, a teenager, or a young adult, be a blessing. Or even if the Lord has called your mother home, still live your life to where the legacy of your mother's name lives through you. You be a blessing. My mama gone home to be with the Lord. Grandmama that raised me, the Lord has took her home. But you let your lifestyle reflect what mama or grandmama taught you. And so when people look at your life, they're like, man, you got your mama spirit. You got your grandmama spirit. Yeah, you're letting her name live through you. And see, that's honorable. What she taught you, you hold on to. Then when you become a mother, you pass it on to your children. Boy, I know there's some good teaching. Be a blessing. Young man, remember what your mama taught you. Be a blessing. Now, y'all remember earlier how I said I was going to flip it. I need to flip it. Can I flip it? Let's go to Matthew. And I want to talk about Matthew chapter 2, how to be a blessing to your mother. And what I want you to see in these verses is if we're going to be a blessing, whether we're teenagers, young adults, or even adults, if you're going to be a blessing to your mother and not a burden, you're going to have to be attentive. Just be attentive. Oftentimes, if we just tell the truth, sometimes we ignore what mama tell us. It go in one ear and out the other. Certain things, be honest. I hear your mama. You ignoring mama. But see, when you have made up in your mind you're going to be a blessing, you are attentive. You're not ignorant. You're not irresponsible. You are attentive. You're paying attention to the needs of your mother. And this is why I need to flip it and be a little help to my young couples. You have to understand as a young man that if you are married and your wife has your children, your wife is now a mother. I said your wife is now a mother. I told my wife this morning, I said, even though you ain't my mama, happy Mother's Day. I said, you ain't my mama, but happy Mother's Day. She my baby mama. And so I need to be attentive, or there was a period to where I was more attentive to her to her needs because she is trying to mother these children that I gave her. And I need to show y'all something. Y'all still with me? All right, y'all turn, hurry up. Matthew 2, and let's look at 12, 13, 14. And I want to show you how we can be a blessing to our mother. How we can be a blessing. Look at this. Now, how many remember while Jesus was here on earth, who was his mother and father? Say it. Ready, go. Mary and Joseph. And we know that Mary had conceived Jesus because the Holy Spirit moved upon her. And at first, Joseph, when they got engaged, he was ready to leave her because he was like, I ain't slept with him. The Bible said he thought about these things secretly, and he considered just leaving her alone because he was like, she been with somebody else. But the angel of the Lord told Joseph, no, this is of the Lord. And the Bible said because he was a just man, he did the right thing. He married her, and he helped take care of the child. Which brings us to verse 12. Y'all still with me? All right. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So at the time, once Herod heard that a king had been born, he was killing all of the babies. And so the Lord said, look, don't y'all go back to where Herod is reigning because he's trying to kill everybody. Y'all go a different way. Verse 13, y'all still with me? Now, when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise. What did the angel say? Take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. This is it. 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. Joseph was attentive to what the mother of his child needed. The Lord told them to look, get up, get out of here. Flee to where I tell you. Go right now. Could you imagine them in haste? The husband is helping the wife. Could you imagine if Joseph, man, get the baby, get the kids, and come on. No, he had to get in there and be attentive to his wife. He had to help out. Look at somebody say, you got to help out. Yeah, you got to help her out. Now, remember, you're not divinely equipped like that wife or like that mother. You're not going to be able to be gentle like her. Wife, mother, you got to understand, he's just not going to do it like you, okay? He's not going to nourish like you, and he's not going to cherish like you. But sons, children, and baby daddies still need to attend to the needs of the mother. Help your mama out. Help the mama out. Baby, what can I do to help you if you're the husband? Mama, what can I do to make it better around here? You know, mama gonna say, baby, just do what I tell you to do. Just go to school, act right, and help around the house, and you be attentive to that. If mama tell you, look, I need just an extra $150 a month to help around the house, be attentive to that. What can I do to help? I need you just, can you just have the table set, and I'll warm the food up when I get home. Can you just do that for me? Be attentive to that. Help out. Look at somebody say, be attentive. Yeah. Can you just watch your brother for me for an extra 3 hours? Don't argue. Just help your mother out. You see she working? Maybe multiple jobs. You see she trying to pay everything. Why can't you not be selfish and just help your mother out? Brother, help your wife out. Look at somebody say, you got to help your mother out. Yeah, be a blessing. Be a blessing and not a burden to your mother.
I gotta go. I gotta go. What? Where you gotta go? You ain't got no business. Be a help, mama. What can I do?
Wash the load. Go in there, wash the load, and then leave. Quit saying I'm gonna do it later. Be a help. Be a blessing. Do it. Do it right then. Do it right then. Can I help you with the child? Now look, I'm not good at doing that right there. But what you need? Can I do something? Can I go somewhere? Be attentive. Be a blessing. I used to tell my wife certain things. Look, I can't do that with them boys. I can't. That's you right there. That's you right there. But then I said, you know what? I may not do that, but I can do this over here. Yeah. All I'm saying and what the Lord is saying is don't be a bird. Find a way to be a blessing. And sometimes when you're the oldest sibling to whom much is given, much is required. Quit griping and complaining. You're the oldest. You're the oldest. Sometimes you're going to have to run your brothers and sisters around. But remember, in your mind, I'm being a blessing. I'm being a blessing. I'm being a blessing to my mother. Okay? Don't be a burden. Find ways to be a blessing. I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the lesson.